Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, and this is a second show about God's odd stuff. Now, you might think I'm being somewhat irreverent when I say that. When we scan the Bible, we see that there are quite a few unusual and strange stories. God moving in some miracles, some unusual dreams, through some rather crazy-sounding prophets. And I've experienced in my life various episodes when God did unusual things. Now, for regular listeners, as I said last week, I'll leave it up to you to come to conclusions about whether what I'm sharing actually describes works that God did. Thousands of times every day, God is credited or discredited for things that happen. On election day here in America, now President Trump announced that God saved him to save America. He said, and I quote, "Many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason, and that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we're going to fulfill that mission together." In other words, he gave God credit for his election success. Now, I haven't got enough time to begin to explore that comment. Some believers would agree with that, and some would throw up their hands in horror. I'll leave that one up to you. But what I do want to share is some stories from my own journey that are just a little unusual, and I'll leave it to you to come to a conclusion. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. This is Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, sharing some of these stranger episodes from my Christian journey. I've discovered that sometimes God comes somewhat forcibly, scaling our pathetic defensive walls and flicking off our security systems of resistance, overriding them with what at first seems to be somewhat unwelcome love. The fatherly intruder came to me one time while I slept, perhaps the only time my mind and mouth are still enough to allow him a word in edgeways. I dreamed the same strange dream over and over that night, and even as I share it with you, I feel like I'm broadcasting from a charismatic twilight zone. Bear with me if you can, and as I said earlier, you can come to your own conclusions. That night, in the dream, I was standing on a railway station. I saw that it was called Pemberton Station. A railway official stood on the platform and chatted with me while I waited for a train that never actually came. The chatter filled me in on all kinds of information about this place called Pemberton. When I awoke, the dream had not evaporated like the morning dew, as most of my dreams do. It was crystal clear, vivid, and sharp in my memory. And as I lay there, just trying to wake up, it occurred to me that I would bump into someone that day, someone called Pemberton, and that I would tell them what the railway porter had told me, and it would speak to them of hope and of better days ahead. This was unusual, strange, odd, and it would take a major bit of acrobatic organization from God to make such a thing happen, especially as I had never met anyone called Pemberton before in my entire life. How was this going to happen? I was due to speak at a leadership conference, a day of training that would be attended by around 60 people, not exactly a cast of thousands from which to pick a Pemberton. I drove excitedly to the hall where we were due to gather, rushed in and grabbed the list of pre-registered delegates. My heart turned to lead as I scanned the list and my eyes hurried down in search of P for Pemberton. There was none by that name present. Just before the first session was due to begin, a breathless couple walked quickly up to the registration table and announced that they wanted to attend the day, but they hadn't had a chance to pre-register. Would that be okay? I smiled my agreement, asked for their names, and then almost fell over. They were Mr. and Mrs. Pemberton. I think I said something giftedly stupid like, "Nice to meet you. I was on your station all last night." Or maybe I said, "I had a dream about you." That would sound even worse. But then I asked if I could talk to them in the break. I couldn't believe it. I'd met the Pembertons. And so I got to tell them my railway station dream, which they said made perfectly good sense. But I asked them to think about it, share it with whoever they wanted to, because I do believe in personal prophecy, but not private prophecy. We laughed and cried some together, and they phoned me later to say, yes, they'd thought and prayed and shared about what I'd said to them, and they did feel that God had clearly spoken. Lest this story conclude with everybody living happily ever after, with John Wayne riding over the sunset-kissed hill on a grinning horse, let me share a little postscript about the Pembertons. A prophetic word from God is not a message that excuses or exempts us from trial. On the contrary, the Pembertons had faced health challenges in recent months. But I cannot deny the fact that God did something very odd and strange that night, and it really did something to change their lives. And change mine too. Yes, God does sometimes do odd stuff. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. This is Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, sharing some of the apparently odder episodes from my Christian journey. I had mixed feelings as I hurried into the meeting. The worship band was serving a pre-meeting cocktail of high-energy worship. There was a sense of high anticipation in the air. We were at a four-day conference at a holiday camp in the east of England. I'd been trying quite hard to enjoy the event, but the truth is that my heart really wasn't in it. I'd been doing some heavy soul-searching about my own calling and identity as a Christian leader. Crisis is too strong a word to describe my condition, but I was feeling weary, confused, and discouraged. The issue centered on my commitment to humor in teaching and preaching. I love laughter, and I'm very nervous when I get around Christians whose facial arrangement suggests that they're wrestling with severe constipation. I bump into far too many believers who feel that laughter's okay as long as it's planned as a post-death experience in the eternal bliss of the afterlife. I'm not prepared to wait that long for a giggle, and I love to employ humor as a genuine communication technique. I don't tell jokes. Punchlines are too risky. But I share stories to illustrate and provoke and hopefully to entertain and create interest. And there are some people who seem to like what I do, but there are inevitably those who feel like I'm just a superficial lightweight who lives for the next funny story. There's a feeling abroad in some Christian circles that the really heavyweight and helpful brand of preaching and teaching is deep. But sometimes we say that preaching is deep when what we really mean is, I didn't understand a word of that. How about you? And so I believe that my commitment to preaching, which includes story and humor, is a legitimate one. But back at that conference, the suggestion that I was a lightweight was chafing me somewhat, and I had complained to God about it. I went to God and said, "So, have you called me to be a fool for your sake?" The answer that seemed to come back was not, shall we say, lengthy and reasoned in its argument. Yes. A fool for Christ? Great. Thank you, God. Why can't I be an evangelical statesman who's respected for the profundity of his exegesis? I shared my sense of being called a fool with no one. And now I was sitting in that service, the worship team was wrapping up, and I was conscious that it's quite possible that God was about to talk to me through one of his and my friends. The leader of the conference had advised me that he had a prophetic word brewing for me and that he was planning to give it that night during that service. This could be good news or bad news and filled me with both hope and dread. And the moment came when he called me up onto the platform. The music were playing quietly. The leader held a microphone in one hand, but in the other, he held what looked like a multicolored piece of cloth. I speculated wildly. Perhaps he was going to say that I was a spiritual Joseph with an amazing technicolored dream coat. Was I going to prison? Was I going to be flirted with by a Pharaoh's wife? Was I going to get a baker into serious trouble? None of that was the case. because he unfolded the cloth, which turned out to be a jester's hat, complete with loud harlequin colours and bells. And to my horror, he placed the hat unceremoniously upon my head. The music played. I turned and faced the crowd, fearing that I now looked utterly ridiculous, and my suspicions were quickly confirmed. Oh, people in the crowd initially sat quietly, trying to look serious, but the sight of me so garbed soon began to tickle a collective funny bone, and within seconds people were first sniggering furtively and then laughing out loud at me. One or two were punching one another, heads thrown back and shoulders shaking with mirth, and I turned away. I was embarrassed, my face flushed beetroot red. I was angry with the laughing congregation. I was angrier with my former friend, the Christian leader, who stuck a hat on my head. What was he playing at, subjecting me to such public humiliation? And if God was in it, what was he doing? Didn't God know that I'd experience enough dismissive sarcasm from fellow Christians to last me for eternity? But my anger was transformed in just a second as that Christian leader began to prophesy. He said, "You have been willing to be a fool for Christ. Help." I told no one that I'd felt that God had told me that I was a fool for him. This was so accurate, it was spooky. And the man continued to talk and prophesy about how the fool, the jester, was so valuable to a king, and then told me that he felt that God was saying that it was vital for me to know two things. Firstly, I would always be criticized, and secondly, that God would give me grace and strength, but barrages of criticism were on the way, and so I needed to learn a greater level of dependence upon God. It was a very strange episode, but as I look back on it now, decades later, I know that that absolutely galvanized me to fulfill my calling. As a result of a very odd event, I discovered exactly who I was in God. God's odd event that day changed my life. Well, I've shared a couple of rather odd episodes from my life, and at the risk of sounding redundant, I want to repeat again, I'll leave you to come to your own conclusions. But as we wrap up this evening, let me say this. Prayer is a rather odd practice. After all, we come to the God who knows everything, and yet he invites us to tell him anyway. Maybe we should think about prayer like this, that God is actually open to suggestions. That's what prayer is. Peter's famous walk on the turbulent waters of the Sea of Galilee began not with Jesus coming up with the idea, but Peter suggesting it. Now, granted, Peter waited for Jesus' approval of the notion. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." But it was still Peter's idea, one that Jesus agreed to. An even more radical example is found at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when, as a wedding guest at Cana, the wine ran out, which was more than a minor problem in that culture. So Jesus' mother Mary decided to suggest a solution to the wine shortage problem. To the servant, she said, "Do whatever he tells you." And initially, Jesus objected, insisting that the time for miracles was not yet at hand. But he conceded. He responded to her suggestion. The first miracle of his ministry was not just someone else's idea, but it was actually the result of parental pressure. So while we obviously have to understand that Jesus is not going to respond with a yes to every suggestion that we make, let's know that prayer is an invitation to partnership, to yes, bring our thoughts, ideas, proposals, and yes, suggestions to God. And sometimes when he responds, the result is strange, unusual, and yes, odd, but he does listen to every prayer, every suggestion. Have a great week.
Lucas on Life. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.